Judge Jim's Big Debate on Trax FM.
Whoops. Welcome to Judge Jim's Big Debate. Welcome, return to Judge Jim. he's got some literature this week. There's so much to talk about, isn't it? I mean, it was a bad hair day if you were a certain political party today. We had empty chairs. We had pictures of Scotland when you don't represent Scotland, but you candidate for Reading, rape or assisting, whatever. Judge, take it away.
Oh, thank you, Dave. Big thank you to DJ Groovy there. This is the Skoda overtaking the Rolls Royce. nice one, great show. I'm glad you brought up the election here in the UK. Just this afternoon ran the electoral calculator that's available to anybody online using the current opinion polls. And this really echoes 2017 for me again, but I want to go over it in a different way. It says currently the Conservatives in the opinion polls are something like 38%, 37% ahead of Labour. And the way it projects out there, listeners, is this, that the Conservatives will be elected with a majority of 112. Now, if you go back to May 2017, you'll remember Labour was behind by something like 25 points and came back, and we now have the hung Parliament situation that we have now. So we've got 6 weeks to go. It's the first day today of official election campaigning. So let's see when the broadcasting rights are levelled out and the airplay and all the rest of it is given to the relevant parties and the debates take place. But just one thing I want to ask listeners out there. If this was the exit poll, that's the last poll taken before the votes are counted in the UK, which has been proved the most accurate ever, and that's normally adjudicated or commented on by Professor John Prentice, I believe, who has already gone online and said, or on broadcasting, predicting that the two major parties will lose seats each, so there'll be no overall majority. But if the Conservatives are elected on this with a majority of 112, is that the end of Jeremy Corbyn? That's what I'd like to know. I say it probably is. I'd probably say he'd have to go because that, if the Conservatives got elected with a majority of 112, I'd say that's a major whooping for Labour. I'd be interested to hear what you've got to say out there, listeners, and maybe my producer, David R. Beard's got something to say about it too.
I mean, it's an interesting point, and that's one of the first thoughts that hit me when the election was called, Judge. But for me, it's all about the policies, and the policies that were announced in 2017, you know, seemed really far-flung, unheard of, blah, blah, blah. You know, the mainstream media made a big thing out of it, how crazy it was. Well, I don't think those policies are crazy 2 years later. I think they're out there. I think we're having the debate. And I think we're seeing dangerous things, Judge. I think things have been challenged, like the law of Parliament, the law, and the monarchy. And I think when you mess about with those things, horrible things come out of the woodwork. But I think they're out there in the open. We're having that debate. As I said to John, social media frightens me a little bit because I could see what people think. And some of those thoughts are slightly frightening. Judge?
Yes, indeed they are. And I think the Boris Johnson strategy, and amongst all of this, he wants the populist people versus Parliament election. He wants to point the finger at Parliament, say they're the people that are stopping your Brexit. These are the people that are holding it up, blah, 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 and the rest of it. Now, Facebook, social media, you can read into people's souls, you could say. I agree with that with some of the stuff I read. So much so, I've still got my account active, but I don't bother going on there because it's just quite worrying, some of the nonsense that people are thinking and coming out with. However, of course, that will be the artillery for Labour to use in getting their message out there. It worked last time, of course, tied in with more traditional methods of meeting people on the street and public rallies. But the only concern I have, and it's always been a concern I had, is that the weather won't be on the side of for street rallies. So that's my only concern, that people aren't going to come out because simply it's going to be too cold. However, the election's going to take place anyway. Now, as an aside, it'd probably be worth mentioning that for those of you in the UK and probably the rest of the world that don't know, the British Post Office, the now privatised Royal Mail, has voted by 97% to take industrial action. This vote was taken, of course, way before the general election was announced, and some large proportion of votes take place through the post. Obviously, it's easy and convenient. Now, the strikes, and I think we're heading that way, David, RB, because Royal Mail just aren't playing any sort of negotiations or settlement talks at all. What we could have is a potential disruption to general election counting. Now, I'm sticking it out there and predicting that Royal Mail will take the union and their ballot to court and get an injunction in the national interest to prevent any industrial action taking place. And it's a major pinpoint, pressure point, actually, for the trade union to take industrial action, as they only have 6 months to do it in, and now is their optimum time, what with Christmas and the cyber days coming up for online sales. So watch this space. That's my prediction. There's going to be an injunction legally challenging the industrial action at Royal Mail, suspending it until after the general election. I don't know what anyone else's thoughts on that is, but I wonder if Pinkman's listening in Greece, see what he's thinking. He's probably trying to shout an order from Zanti or somewhere.
Well, I agree. I think there is a... I think that the legalities of disputes now are so tight, it can go either way. And I think that, you know, I think when we analyse it and break it down, my opinion of the law in the Trade Union Act, certainly 2016, I think it's a breach of civil... It's a breach of civil liberty, I would say. Look, my view on that is just go. If you're going to go, just go.
You're going to go anyway, that's right. Yeah. That's why a four-day stoppage shouldn't really be any problem, because the question was asked of their members, and they have to produce that, are you prepared to take part in a strike? And they've all 97% of them have voted yes. Now I'm reading in certain quarters, and I'm getting from certain sources, that some people are wobbling a bit and saying, no, that's no good, because certain people work all well. That's life. That's how it is. Some trade unions and trade unionists have spent 2 years on strike. So, you know, what's 4 days, really, especially if you're on SA and don't do a great deal of work for that. But there we go. So some interesting things, some issues coming up on the horizon there. I'm in covering for John Bowd's All the Rage, who's taken, I assume it's a holiday, unless he's protesting somewhere in Greece, I don't know. I'm sure he's having a wonderful time. He's probably talking to fellow socialists, but pretend ones anyway. I've got The Guardian in front of me today, and it just goes to show how in touch this man really is with the British public. And it's sad as well how much of that British public actually support him in what he says and does, yet he wouldn't look at them, or certainly wouldn't urinate on them if they were on fire. And that's Jacob Rees-Mogg. And he's trying to backpedal and soften up his remarks over Grenfell. The article says attempts by Jacob Rees-Mogg to draw a line under his remarks that victims of Grenfell fire lacked common sense have drawn a furious reaction from the survivors and campaigners. So they wouldn't have to use any sense if the anti-fire legislation put in place since Charles the First's time, and I think it was Charles the First, or at least the Great Fire of London, if that wasn't all repealed, we probably wouldn't have had such a disaster. But the leader of the House of Commons issued a profound apology after he told a radio interviewer, "I think if either of us were in a fire, whatever the fire brigade said, we would leave the burning building. It just seems the common sense thing to do." Karim Mushealy, whose uncle Hassam Rahman, 57, died in the fire, said Rees-Mogg was an idiot, whose remarks revealed the detachment of the government from the Grenfell community. He goes on to say, "The apology is too late." He told The Guardian, "Sorry means nothing. After all, it's only a word, isn't it? It's such an easy word to say. Your action means something, but we have had words and no action." The Justice for Grenfell group described Rees-Mogg's original comments as appalling, and opposition leader Jeremy Corbyn called them crass and insensitive. There you go. So a number of people died there in 2017, and the survivors are dispensed all over London in temporary accommodation with no answers and no money and no way forward. And we're in the sixth richest country in the world. It really is incredible.
Judge, can I just quickly, yeah, before please, you yeah. we go into the music break, I'm going to take you back to your show in 2017, which was quite descriptive, because you went through a lot of the procedures and what actually happened and what was meant to happen. Weren't they? There was an instruction initially for them to stay in the residence or the place of residence initially. If I remember rightly, we went through everything, and there was an instruction by the fire brigade or some authority to stay where they were.
Yes, it would seem from today's article that that was the case. I remember doing the show, and I believe that I was talking about a judge that was doing the inquiry and how the parameters were so narrow. But what I do remember about the show, and we're talking about 2 years ago and lots happened, as you know, is that the London Fire Brigade didn't have a ladder tall enough to rescue people. And I don't think he even attempted putting a helicopter on it either, because I didn't think they had the kit, and that points towards cutbacks. But I do remember that. I don't know what's happened to that inquiry. I mean, I did do a show following on from that where I think I said that the inquiry was adjourned for some reason or another. I don't know whether that was for a criminal investigation or not. I don't know. I've lost the thread.
Well, we did adjudicate that the people that should be put in jail when arrested for murder would scurry off. The show wasn't initially about what we had said was what was established after the show, Judge. Not necessarily the procedures. I think what was established after the show and during your show on the big debate was there were no procedures.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Rings a bell somewhere.
Yeah, no equipment, no sprinklers.
Nothing. After the music break, I was going to move on to an article in today's Guardian, actually, about the building firm, the contractors, Ryden, who were responsible. And now you've said that, it's all coming back to me. If we could take the music break, I'll turn to that article, and I'll give you a personal description as to what Ryden's are really all about.
Judge Jim's Big Debate on Trax FM.
1991, I think. Son of a Blue Pearl and Naked in the Rain. You're listening to Judge James Big Debate. You know, Judge is stepping in for John Bowes All the Rage, but sometimes we have both of them on. June, December the 12th, Thursday, from 9, we will be having a Judge James Big Debate election special, as we did in 2017. And I'll never forget the chime of the Big Ben, and that particular exit poll, which it has now gone on to be fantastically accurate. And I won't forget June 2017. Will I forget, or will December the 12th be memorable? Judge Jim's Big Debate election special, December the 12th at 9 p.m. UK time. Judge.
Yes, Dave. Well, will it be memorable indeed? At the moment, it's not looking too good for Labour with the prediction at the moment. Let's just have a look at the election prediction. The Conservatives, it says, will be winning seats off of Labour, and the Liberal Democrats as well will be winning seats off of Labour also. It will give the Conservatives a majority of 112. Just very quickly, I'll be going back to Grenfell in the second there, listeners. Let's just have a look here. The Liberal Democrat leader, Joe Swinson, has vowed Lib Dems will not put the Tories in power. Haven't we heard that one before? Joe Swinson didn't look like a sleeper agent as she made her way to the podium of an airless central London meeting room to launch the Lib Dems' election campaign. Rather, she appeared to be channeling the inner girly swat that she made a point of trademarking in recent weeks. But maybe she was just in deep cover. After all, Conservative campaign leaflets have branded the Lib Dems as a major threat to national security, so Swinson can't be too careful. Perhaps that's why the government is going to such lengths to cover up a report into the Russian interference in British elections. The revolution starts here. That's by John Crace, called Sketch in The Guardian. Excellent journalist to read. Of course, every time I'm on air, all the way up until the exit poll on the 12th of December, I'll be summing up my electoral calculus. It's by a man called Martin Baxter. It's online. It's easy to use. You can put your own wacky opinion polls in there and see how it projects. So as soon as we get the exit poll on the 12th, we will be on air and I'll put it through and we'll see what it says. We won't be the only media station that will be doing it. And imagine there'll probably be a lot of mainstream media stations and newspapers and all sorts of...
Judge, there'll be no internet radio music station doing what we do.
Well, to be very clear.
I just want to... I'm not disrespecting DJs, but I've seen some comments on Facebook about political stuff. Just stick to playing the music, really. You don't know what you're talking about. Sorry.
Especially if you live in Australia. Anyway, I mean, how can you be a DJ of the street and talk so much bull calf like that? I don't know. Or alleged to be a DJ of the streets, shall we say. Maybe in former places of the British Empire, but as far as we're concerned here in Europe, this is a different matter. Anger, it reads, as Grenfell contractor is placed on approved list of high-rise buildings. This is by Robert Booth, social affairs correspondent of The Guardian. The government has placed the contractor that oversaw the disastrous refurbishment of Grenfell Tower on the official list of firms recommended to build high-rise housing, a move that has sparked fury among survivors. Ryden was the main contractor on the recladding that spread the blaze, which claimed 72 lives in 2017. The decision, less than 3 years later, to name it as one of the firms on the new £30 billion seven-year construction framework agreement, has been attacked as adding insult to injury by the bereaved relatives and survivors. Ryden will face intense scrutiny in the second phase of the public inquiry into the disaster, which begins in the new year. The first phase last week concluded with the £10 million refurbishment of Grenfell Broke Building Regulations. All the companies involved in the refurbishment are understood to be part of the Met Police investigation into potential criminal offences, including manslaughter and corporate manslaughter. Ryden was named as one of 12 firms on the framework agreement, which helps public sector bodies find building companies. The firm more than doubled its post-tax profits in the year after the disaster to £16.6 million. Right, let me just get this straight. They're responsible in corporate manslaughter, or there's a case possibly for corporate manslaughter. This company called Ryden's, who are anti-worker, anti-trade union, and I can say that with experience and authority, are involved and responsible for 72 lives being lost in 2017. So what do we do in this country? We promote them. We give them a seal of approval to say they're part of the official list the government will use when we're sourcing building firms to build big structure buildings, right? Wouldn't it be more sensible for the government to say, well, you're involved in this, your brand is somewhat damaged, to say the least, you've killed or you're involved with the killing of 72 people living in the UK, 72 citizens of this country. You need to be off that framework. You need to be de-recognised by this government, because it's just not right and proper for you to be on this list, official list, and approved by us as a source. It is absolutely incredible, isn't it? If you do something serious at work, you're suspended. You're out the way. If you do something serious as an individual that's suspected as criminal, you're on conditional bail, or worse, you're put on remand. But these people can kill, mass murder, you might say, or certainly corporate manslaughter at the best, or worst, depending on your opinion, and you're put on an official government list and asked to source work for the government for big structure buildings. It goes on to say, it's totally unacceptable that Ryden, one of the companies required to answer questions for its role in the refurbishment of the Grenfell Tower, would be put on a government list that promotes it as a reputable contractor for the high-rise towers, said a spokesperson for Grenfell United, the main group representing bereaved families and survivors. It makes us question the government's intention to learn the lessons at Grenfell. The Housing Secretary, Robert Jenrick, must suspend Ryden from the list and explain how the contractor under investigation for Grenfell ended up there. Well, I think we've just touched on that, and I think I couldn't agree more. Goes on to say that the London Fire Brigade Commissioner, Danny Cotton, said she feared firefighters and commanders could not be trained to tackle cladding fires similar to Grenfell. Cotton told the London Assembly, "I still have concerns that even though we have a far greater understanding of that, the spread of cladding fires, that is, it would be very difficult to implement training to respond to some of these situations because it is still such an extraordinary event of such a big scale that we still have huge concerns about fires in those types of buildings." Now, I've recently done fire training, and it's quite clear the best way to stop a fire is to stop one from starting. So with all the laws removed since the Great Fire of London, it basically gave a green light for landlords of any description to say, yeah, put up any old muck, and that will do. Now, that is not stopping a fire. That is not preventing a fire. And the best way to stop a fire is to stop one from starting. If you put the laws back in place, and there's no talk anywhere around this because, of course, we're consumed by this Brexit nonsense that's going on. Put the laws back in place that have been there for hundreds of years. And I did do a show on that as well, I think. Put them back in place. That will then prevent the fires. You won't need firemen needing so much intense training. You won't need the equipment that they didn't have at Grenfell because, quite simply, the fire will not start because you've got fire preventative measures in place. I don't know what your thoughts on that are, Dave.
I think the situation got diluted and politicised because the Brexit referendum from the year before brought out a lot of... They weren't political, and I'm being polite there. I'm only quoting Facebook, so there was a lot of right-wing narrative on that building having illegal immigrants in there. So the political argument came across from Brexit, or the Brexit argument got involved in that horrible massacre on immigration, which was the big ticket on Brexit. But I don't understand how this country, as great as it's been quoted on social media, would allow mass murder and say it's down to something else, and we sit by and let it, or some of us sit by and say, well, there was subletting, it was an immigrant with a dodgy fridge, so that's okay. That's okay, you know. Forget the fact that there, you know, whoever was living there was set up to, you know, a fire was going to start, and it was on dangerous levels, extremely dangerous levels, as was proven. But I don't understand how you could, it was diluted, the blame on that judge by Brexit. I firmly believe that. And if that had happened 3 weeks before the election, I think we would have seen a different result.
Yes, indeed you would. And I do think, I don't know how people could jump to such conclusions, even if it turns out the facts are that there was a fridge fire, then the fridge fire wouldn't spread if there was anti-fire materials in place. So regardless of there being a domestic fridge fire or not, if they had have stuck to the pre, we'll call it for argument's sakes, pre Great Fire of London standards, regulations, laws and standards, that fire would never have spread like it would, or did, I should say. And there's no argument about that. As I keep saying, the best way to stop a fire is to prevent one from starting. It's basic. And to say subletting this, subletting that, that's irrelevant whether they're being subletted or not. This wouldn't be under the microscope if there was preventative fire material in place. I mean, as far as we know, I mean, I don't know this for a fact, but it could have been the case that when they refurbished that building, that they took the pre-fire, the preventative fire materials out from the original building and put just a load of nonsense in. So that just goes to show. And yes, you would have had a different result if that had happened 3 weeks beforehand. And it's just a distraction. You know, subletting immigrants, this, that, the other. It's a nonsense because we're very good in this country at the blame game. Find a sector of people to blame because they're easy to beat up. You know, it's just easy to smear them off with a load of old nonsense. Yes, it's their fault because of this. It's their fault. That's why then. Yeah, and that makes it all right then, isn't it? Then we can all go about, I'm going to sound like John Bowden when I say this, all go about our middle-class lives like nothing's happened. But the article does go on because Cotton has been lambasted for claiming that preparing for a training package for a Grenfell-style fire would have been like planning for the space shuttle landing on the Shard. She has resisted calls to resign in the wake of last week's public inquiry report into the night of the disaster, which found the London Fire Brigade's failure to prepare and plan for a cladding fire and evacuation was gravely inadequate and in breach of national guidance. Sir Martin Moore-Bick, the chair, this is the chap I was on about earlier, of the Grenfell Inquiry, said the London Fire Brigade was guilty of an institutional failure to inform firefighters about the risks of cladding fires before the disaster, and said the London Fire Brigade is an institution at risk of not learning the lessons of Grenfell Tower fire. So it sounds like he's proportioning some of the blame there to the London Fire Brigade. But would be interesting. It's a shame that the Guardian didn't go and seek the views of Matt Rack, the FBU General Secretary, to see what he would have to say about those comments. You never know, he might even be giving evidence at the inquiry at some date, but we'll have to, that remains to be seen. I think it's probably a good time to probably take a music break, Dave.
Judge Jim's Big Debate on Trax FM.
now the pitch is clear and it's time to step with Pep. You got caught and ripped your rep. She's moving to bigger and better things like this. Then she'll wanna dish it, get dismissed. You wanna play a game, so be it. But never again will she be too blind to see it.
Kim Sims from 1992. Silk Hurley produced Kim Sims and Too Blind to See It. As I said, a big thank you guys to Groomy, and who played a Vimto bootleg from back in the day of Fragma's I Need a Miracle. That was Vimto, Steve Vimto. Steve Vimto's here every Thursday from 5 p.m. UK time. Judge, take it away.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Earlier on, I mentioned about, I mentioned several things about the general election. I've just seen a tweet from Oliver Dowden. I believe he's the one of the government ministers responsible or to the cabinet office. Let me just verify that, because I want to use this as a piece of the programme and news, and I don't want to get it wrong. Just to put it in context and make sure I'm reading everything correctly. There we go. Oh, yes, he is. He's British Paymaster. Oh, yeah. Minister for the Cabinet Office has been having a telephone conversation with the Chief Executive Officer of Royal Mail on the possible industrial action that could be coming up. That's you heard that here first from Trax FM's The Big Debate. That came courtesy of CW News. So what it's got to do with the government, I don't know, because they sold Royal Mail off ages ago. So why they're on the phone to them, I don't know. Interesting one, that. And that might strengthen my prediction that, of course, that there could be some legal action against the CW to put that off. The strike action, that is an injunction, whilst the general election is underway. But we'll just have to see. That's just sheer speculation and a personal opinion, not necessarily the opinion of Trax FM. It's coming up as well on Twitter. Military police called to a situation after reports of three knifemen tried to hijack a plane at Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam. RT News is saying the same thing. George Galloway, if you're in the area, might be worth going to go and listen to him. He's he's running in the West Midlands, West Brom, that's better. He's got a meeting at the Workingmen's Club, Dudley Road, near the Clock Tower, 7 p.m. on Friday. So watch this space, that'd be interesting. What else have we got here? Let's see, on Twitter. They're trying to raise, this is the media, mainstream media are still trying to raise again the anti-Semitism row in the Labour Party. Anything to distract from clawing back in the opinion poll for Labour. But anyway, so that's that. I just wanted to share that with you. The government's on the phone to Royal Mail. That could be good. That could be bad. I really don't know. Whilst we're talking about industrial relations and action, we've got, reported in The Guardian, we've got South West Trains. Let's have a look. It's about their guards. South Western Rail staffed a strike for most of December. Rail workers on one of Britain's biggest commuter networks, South Western Railway, are to go on strike for almost all of December. The RMT union announced a total of 27 days of strikes for the next month in the long-running dispute over the future role and responsibilities of guards on trains. That would be a long one. Southern had a protracted dispute over that, and I'm not quite sure if that was ever resolved properly. But more strikes. The IWGB, which is kind of like a pop-up trade union in London, They're going on strike for the London Living Wage. Staff at private members' club owned by a high-profile Brexit-supporting backer of Boris Johnson are to strike. Celebrities visiting 5 Hertford Street in Mayfair, London, which has hosted figures including George and Amal Clooney, Margot Robbie and Prince William, will have to consider whether they want to cross the picket line. Other celebrities include DJ Chaz Summers. The industrial action is being taken by kitchen porters, all of whom are migrant workers, demanding that they be paid the London Living Wage of £10.55 an hour and occupational sick pay that meets their needs. The club, which is owned by the businessman Robin Burley, has been labelled Brexit HQ by Brexiters. The activist Andy Wigmore tweeted a picture of himself at the club with Nigel Farage and the co-founders of Leave EU, Richard Tyson, Aaron Banks. Aaron Banks, incidentally, ladies and gentlemen, was the financier behind that scumbag Tommy Robinson. I just thought that's worth a mention, and all the rest of his cretinous individuals that work for him in and around where I live as well. We shan't forget you. An appeal to raise money for the strike fund was launched yesterday by the Independent Workers Union of Great Britain, IWGB, which counts 10 kitchen porters at the club as members. 9 of them have voted to go on strike. Well, that's pretty much a 90% yes vote, which will take place after talks this week, and the union is confident other workers will join. So keep an eye on this space. Dave, it's probably a good idea to take a music break.
Yeah, could you... you mentioned there was educate our listeners in regards to the members there. You said there was 10 members and they've all voted for industrial action.
Yeah, there's let's have a look. There's 10 workers, 10 kitchen porters, and not, I believe they said it's 9 of them are voted to go on strike. So in statistical terms, that beats all the anti-trade union laws and delivers a 90% yes vote with a 100% return.
Judge Jim's Big Debate on Trax FM. We'll be right back.
can't remember what year that was. I'm sure that was 1993. I've got all the funky music on Judge Show today. I didn't follow the normal trend. I normally got Judge's music as a separate folder. And they're all funky today. Because he's a funky man. Judge, take it away.
Yeah, last time I looked, I was a funky man. Okay. And it is before 9 p.m. Just a bit more of a news flash on Twitter. Oh, so much so it's disappeared on me. Hold on, here we go. Oh, trio of impeachment testimonies to tell full story of Trump's alleged wrongdoing. Quite amazing, really. It's taken all of this against Biden's son for them to impeach him. You know, yet he's allowed people, kids to be separated from their families. He's stopped 800,000 government workers from being paid one year, and that was all right. The article's gone. Let's see, find it. But basically, horrendous. Two men, horrendous. Reject Witherspoon report over pro-Brexit outlay, investors told. A picture of Nigel Farage and that chairman of Witherspoon's, who doesn't pay his staff appropriately. Ugly looking mother, to say the least. Anyway, there it is. Oh, it's gone again. Hold on. What it is, listeners, is that the leader, or the former leader of ISIS, I did have his name, but the article keeps disappearing on me. His wife has been captured in Turkey. Let's just see if I can find it. There we go. His name, ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, his wife has been captured, according to Turkey. Erdogan decrees US for communications campaign over jihadist death. Well, they've got problems over there in Syria, with the US pulling out and leaving the whole situation to it. A very quick article here from The Guardian again. I know it's all been Guardian-based, but they really have come up with some... there's even more here in the paper. Secret MI5 policy gives agents license to kill, Security Tribunal hears. MI5 operatives are partially secret policy... operates, not operatives. They give their operatives a partially secret policy that allows agents to participate in serious crimes, including torture and killing, a Security Tribunal has heard. In a challenge to the intelligence services handling of agents, lawyers for a coalition of human rights groups have questioned the legality and extent of the powers. Some elements of what is known as the third direction, guidelines permitting agents to become involved in criminal conduct, have been published. Crucial details specifying whether there are limits on such criminal activity, however, remain a secret. Ben Jaffe, QC, representing Privacy International, Reprieve, the Belfast-based Committee on the Administration of Justice, and the Pat Finucane Centre, said the policy, in effect, meant that MI5 was granting immunity to its agents. Speaking at the Investigatory Powers Tribunal, which hears complaints about surveillance and the intelligence agencies, Jaffe and that said that if there were any limits on the type of criminal behaviour MI5 authorised, they remained a secret because MI5 does not tell the victim of any crime, the police or prosecutors, about such instances. It goes on to, it's quite interesting, really. I mean, the issues raised were not hypothetically stressed. Collusion between officials and agents inside terrorist organisations had led to grave abuses, he said. Police have recently recommended that more than 20 people, including senior officials, should be prosecuted for murder, kidnap, torture and perverting the course of justice after an investigation by Operation Kenover into the handling of agents inside the IRA during Northern Ireland's war. It says troubles here, but it was more than trouble, it was a war. Goes on to close off and say that the representative of MI5 has told the tribunal the security service does not purport to or could not offer immunity from criminal liability. The authorisation will be MI5's explanation and justification of its decision should the criminal activity of the agent come under scrutiny. The authorisation process and associated records may, from the basis of representations by the service to the prosecuting authorities, that the prosecution is not in the public interest. You make your mind up on that one, won't you, just? Because there you go, a law unto themselves. So if there's a suspected person, say, for example, that you think, well, how do they make all their money? They never go to work, but they're riding around in that Range Rover, and then a few years later, their body's found dead, shot, with no lead on it at all. Well, look no further. Pretty much a license to kill on certain individuals, but where do you draw the line? Who guards the guards? And I think that's what that hearing's all about. Have you got any thoughts on that, Dave, before I sign off?
Well, there was a few things you mentioned. One, when you mentioned the ISIS leader, the first thing that comes to my mind, judging by, we go back to Grenfell, is the media, or the media put up a picture that anyone Muslim is, I'm not doing a broad brush here, but looking at the social media activity, when you say Muslim, people immediately think of ISIS, and then there was, you know, a narrative on illegal Muslims living in Grenfell, and that's why some people try to dismiss it, but I believe the elite try to do that. Yeah, that's my view on it, Judge. I was going to come back to that. And, of course, the owner of Weatherspoons, whoever he is, yes, he is a funny-looking fucker. Judge?
well, look, the big debate will no doubt be back, or certainly John Bowd's all the rage. And we look forward to you, listeners. Please come and join us on the 12th. And any time I can get on the air, I will. And the first thing I'll do is obviously run the latest election prediction, and we can use the analysis on that data for obviously further discussions in the show. But next week, I'd imagine John Bowd's All the Rage is back on. I might be here too. So we'll see. We look forward to having you back on. We're after DJ Groomy and the Guilty Pleasures show. Next up at the top of the hour is David RB and the Badger Set Sessions. So stay tuned. It could be a late one. Over to you, Dave.
Judge Jim's Big Debate on Tracks FM.